What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast today on Monday, October 25th. It's crazy to think that we're already in the last month of or week of October already, but we're here. The World Series is upon us. Me and Gary Morgan, who always joins us every Monday, will be talking about the World Series today, as well as what the Pirates can learn from these playoffs that we've seen this year, which has been pretty interesting. There's been a lot of different things that have happened this year in 2021 and the MLB postseason. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pirates your first listen of the day every single day. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and get right into today's episode on Monday, October 25th. Okay.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast, everybody. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. You can follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan. You can follow this podcast on Odyssey, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And that to my right, to my left, actually, is Mr. Gary Morgan. I still haven't gotten the hand motion thing down yet. We're going to get it down eventually. But, Gary, how are you doing today? I know Pittsburgh is probably a little cooler than it is here in Savannah. It's a nice little 68 degrees in the morning right now. So, pretty sure Pittsburgh's a little bit cooler right now.
Yeah, it's a little cooler. It's a good weekend to be a Pittsburgh fan, though. Had a good sports weekend again. So.
Yes. Shouts out to the University of Pittsburgh for getting a big win against Clemson. I was watching that entire game while I was in Charlotte at a Halloween event, and I was just shocked. I really thought Pitt was going to do the Pitt thing and lose that game. But I actually saw, before we get into the baseball talk, they have like a 24% chance to get into the college football playoff now. And I was like,
yeah, it's on the table for them.
A real shot thing for them. But everybody already knows who I'm going for, so we're perfectly fine in our boat.
That's all right, front runner. That's all right.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know what I'll do if Georgia and Pitt play each other in a national championship game. I don't know what I'll do.
We're a long way from me yeah. Embracing that kind of talk.
Yeah. I was about to say we'll get there when Pitt's 11-1 or 12-1 and winning the ACC. But this is also a baseball podcast. But I'm sure people don't mind hearing about Pittsburgh and other things. Over the weekend, the unthinkable happened. I thought the Braves were going to throw a 3-1 lead again. They did not. Tyler Matzek was a big reason why. That was a big story in that game. So we have the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves. And the consensus I got from most of the people I follow on Twitter was, I really don't care. I wish that both stadiums would just, like, crumble and they can't play. That was kind of, like, the consensus among Pirates fans. But with that said, we'll get into our predictions later. What can the Pirates learn from what we've seen from what's been kind of a wacky postseason? Like, I mean, there's been a lot of different things that we've seen that we normally don't. So what can the Pirates, once they get back into the postseason, say 2 or 3 years from now, what can they take from what they've seen this postseason and make it worthwhile when they get there?
I mean, there's really value in starting pitching still, I think. You know, the league seems to be wanting to devalue the starting pitching role, and Atlanta didn't. And I think it really helped them get past the Dodgers. I really do. Dodgers had some key injuries. I'm not going to say they didn't, but, I mean, they brought in enough that I don't think they get that excuse, really. And they've been without a couple of the guys that they like to list as crucial losses for quite some time. So it's not like they just found out they weren't going to have them. I think all in all, there's not a lot directly they can learn. I think Atlanta, if you really want to take something away from their recent run, it's, hey, the international draft is pretty important.
Yeah.
And even if you even if you do some underhanded things and get caught, you still probably are going to get a pretty big benefit if you hit on some of those guys. So Atlanta pulled it off, and they did it without Acuna. They, you know, unreal.
Yeah, that's really where I was. Like, I was just like, wow, Freddie Freeman starts this like series, I believe, 0-for-8 with 6 strikeouts. You don't have Ronald Acuna, and they still pulled it out. And one of the things I took from it too is, say, like the Pirates in a couple years, just to throw out, these are all hypothetical things, but they kind of have the team that could compete, but then they get aggressive. That was really what I saw from Atlanta, is they got very aggressive at the trade deadline. And I will even say it, I remember saying I thought it was stupid. I really did. But I guess they saw that before everybody else did, that the Mets were just not the Mets at all. The Phillies were not going to be good enough to make the playoffs, and they took advantage of it, took advantage of a poor division for the most part in the NL East, and they really made it work. And now they're in the World Series against the Houston Astros, and I'm not even going to begin asking you what the Pirates can learn from the Astros, because they can't. There's literally one or two things they can learn from the Astros, and it's things to not do. But realistically, this entire season has been predicated on, as you mentioned, how can starting pitching like hold up? I mean, when you hear Max Scherzer literally say, "My arm is dead, I cannot pitch in game 6," that is a red flag. That is a major problem. And that just also showcases how much starting pitching you need, which is why we've talked amount of times that the Pirates in this offseason need to go find some veteran pitching to supplement this young pitching in case of injury, on top of other things, because that's one thing you saw from Pittsburgh this year, is a lot of their starting pitchers started going down, and they flat out just ran out of guys to use for the most part. I mean, they had plenty of them.
That, and they asked them to go down. You know, there's a lot of less than upfront injury designations, I would say, towards the end of the year there. I don't know. COVID really kind of screwed the league up for 2 years. And I think starting pitching at its core in this league is changing. I don't think that there's as much value in pitchers like Gerrit Cole anymore. I think you want somebody that can give you 5 or 6 innings, but you're okay if they give you 4 or 5. And it seems to have kind of universally changed to the point where getting 6 innings is something that's happening around like a 35% clip right now. You know, about 10, 15 years ago, that was sitting in the 60s. So, I mean, yeah, some of it's COVID related, but some of it is, I believe, financial related. I think for the Pirates, it might actually wind up being a good thing. But mostly because they won't need to have like that top shelf ace to compete. I mean, if you're if everybody's going with bullpens, they're going with bullpens. Atlanta, really, though, we talked about Acuna. They lost Ozuna, too. I mean, like, it's not like they didn't lose some huge pieces. So it was kind of laughable to hear Dodgers fans talking about anything they lost, really. But, hey, the World Series is set. It is what it is.
Yeah, at this point,
I don't care if people want to root for it or not. That's what it is.
It's the World Series. The World Series is always like one of the best parts of the year for me in sports, just because, one, it falls around my birthday, and two, it's just always so fun. I mean, it really is. Like the most recent World Series was what, Rays Dodgers. That was an absolute. I mean, there was moments every single game that were fun. If you go back 2 years to the last full season, the Nationals and Astros series, that had all kinds of moments. It had Juan Soto coming out as a true star player. It had Baby Shark. I can't remember his name now. Good Lord. I don't know why I just Baby Sharked on my podcast. I might as well just stop doing this now. Good Lord. It's funny, though, with like off topic. It's funny, though, that I think people forget the Pirates used to have a shark in the bullpen. Back when they had Mark Melanson, Tony Watson, and Jared Hughes, they used to just have that shark up there. But either way, I think it's very interesting, before we get into the next segment as well with this World Series, is both of these teams, and people can be mad about it, mad about the matchup, mad about whatever. Both of these teams deserve to be there with the way they play. That's just how it is. And that's why I like this World Series. That's why particularly I like the World Series most of the time, because the team that deserves it the most is usually there. The LA Dodgers did not play up well enough to win that series. I could have seen a world where Mookie Betts or Cody Bellinger or somebody bailed them out with a couple home runs. They end up squeaking by in game 6 and 7, get to the World Series. Cool. But the way they played that entire series, they just didn't deserve it. And you had a $250 million payroll. Yeah, sure. Some of your guys were out. Your payroll was probably still, if you subtract those guys, probably still above $200 million. I mean, there's really no excuses that you can really make besides we just didn't show up for a series. Let's go back next year. And if people also say MLB doesn't have parity, which I've kind of gotten into like over the last week, there has not been a repeat champion in 21 years. That is insane.
I mean, that's parity for the champion.
Yeah.
That's not parity for the mix of teams that are typically involved in it.
Yeah, the mix was what I was more getting into the other day. Like last week, I was like, it seems like it's the same four teams. And somebody said, what are you talking about? The Nationals literally just won the World Series 2 years ago and the Rays were in it last year. I said, look at every single one before that. Look at literally from 2018 to 2015 and then come back to me and talk to me. Because that was like completely different. The only anomaly that I think we've had in the last 5 or 6 years was probably the Indians and the Cubs being in the World Series. That was the only anomaly. And even then, I think the Astros and the Dodgers were involved in that too.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's definitely not – it's a league that has parity based on having a big, huge playoff. A playoff that they want to expand even a little bit more. And it'll give you a little bit more of that false sense that there's real parity in this league. But I'm sorry, there's no Green Bay winning in the MLB. Just not. There's no small market team that is just going to be perennially in it. Tampa is good. But Tampa, I think, has shown something in this playoff, too. They're not good enough to survive any kind of injuries, any kind of slowing down, any kind of like sustained like day where you really need one guy to go out there and take charge. They don't have it. There's just something missing from a team like that. And I wish that the league would change, but it's resistant to it. And I understand why.
Yeah, understandable. But before we move into the rest of today's podcast, Gary, I'm going to go ahead and let you know that if you want to watch the World Series right now when it comes on, you can use DirecTV Stream. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to let you know about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. I also was thinking about using DirecTV Stream because I was watching Sunday Night Football and whatever rain was going on in that game while also starting the Harry Potter movies for the first time. So that was very fun. I've seen parts of the first movie and then I watched the whole thing and I was like, now I see why people hate certain people and like certain people. But I asked this question to a guest last week, Gary, Mr. Adam Bittner, that I have on from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette every week. I asked him about the perfect Pirates offseason. I put it in quotations because there's really no way that you can have like a perfect offseason, in my opinion. Like if that was the case, you'd have every free agent, every trade that you want. What are some things that the Pirates can do, though, to make this offseason feel that way? Like, what are some things that they can do to really take a step forward, not in terms of really wins and losses, but saying we can be a more competitive ball club in 2022?
Well, that would mean more wins and losses, right? I mean, so I think first, there's no consensus. I don't think you'll find this entire fan base agreeing on what progress really looks like. But I think they have no choice but to get a few veteran pitchers for some of the reasons we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go into next season putting a whole lot of pressure on guys to take a step in that rotation. You just have to have some kind of leadership there. I fear very much having Chad Cole and Stephen Brault be that leadership. And it's not that I don't like either guy or, you know, even that I necessarily don't think they can play well. I just don't want somebody that can't stay on the field or somebody who really kind of hasn't proven himself yet in Chad Cole to be the leader of this pitching staff. Mm-hmm. So go get somebody, maybe two, and let the young guys work their way in as needed. That's step number one. Got to get a better backup catcher to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Michael Perez can be the backup catcher next year, batting less than his body weight. I'm just sorry. It's got to change. I just don't think that you can trust Jacob Stallings to do, at his age, two seasons back-to-back with more catching than he's ever done in his career. I think that's a mistake and a big problem waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Outfield would be nice. I have a feeling they're not done with Anthony Alford. I would be. But if they're not done with him, I have a feeling they'll just ride the train.
Yeah, just ride the train until they get some prospects is what I would assume.
Yep. Yeah.
Which prospects in the outfield could we expect? Probably Travis Swaggerty probably has to be on that list, right? I'd assume probably
he has to be, but I just can't see having him start right out of spring. He didn't give you very much of a window into what he could be last year before he got hurt. And I mean, I liked what I saw from him. It's just, I think he needs to do a little bit in AAA first. You know, maybe they don't feel the same way. Maybe they'll let him just perform in spring and win it, but I wouldn't. I think Cal Mitchell, Kanan Smith-Ajigba, and depending on what you really think they're going to do with O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem very committed to leaving him at shortstop. Boy, I don't know. I think there's some work to do there that like would prevent him from coming up. Like he double clutches when he tries to throw across the diamond, and his arm's strong enough to make up for it a lot. But you're facing sometimes guys that are the fastest of the fast in MLB, and you don't have time for that stuff. You got to make those throws real quick, no hitch at all, and it'll kill double plays. There's a lot of things, and we're not even getting into talking about somebody that looks like Manute Bol out there trying to take ground balls. He does it. I don't know how he does it. It looks awkward, but he gets it done. I just worry about some of the technique things there. And if they don't see that, I don't understand what exactly is going on here. I think he can play outfield really well.
Well, yeah. And I mean, that's what I also have kind of been in the mode of, is it's like, it's also not like as if what you have right now, it's not like if you move O'Neill Cruz away from shortstop, the entire position is just screwed. Like, it's not like you're going to like move him away and then move him to right field. You have like a lot of guys that you could throw at shortstop and probably be okay with it. The first one being Kevin Newman. Kevin Newman's still going to probably be the starting shortstop as of right now. if his back comes back alive like it did a couple years ago, or even in spring training, not to that extent, but if he can at least bat 250, 260 and bring that same defense back, I see no reason why you don't just let him play for that whole year. I mean, and then Cole Tucker had a really good end of the year as well. He kind of played himself into possibly a 40-man roster spot just based off of the last month. And that's not including Hoy Park, who we don't want at shortstop. Michael Chavis, who I also probably wouldn't want to see over there. Tucapito Marcano, who we didn't see last year really, but can probably come up and play that position. And then you're also talking about some prospects that you have a couple years from now in Peguero and Gonzalez that can both play that position. I mean, moving O'Neill Cruz from shortstop is not the end of the world, especially if you could teach him how to play right field correctly instead of playing right field like Yoshi Tsutsugo.
Yeah, I mean, last year I understood not moving him because, you know, really without the bat, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If the bat wasn't going to come along, then where he played really didn't make much of a difference. So I understood maybe not giving him something extra to think about last year. You know, just get the bat right. We'll figure everything else out. At this point, though, he's on the doorstep. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mess around and wait. I don't want to figure out where he's going to play later. Maybe he'll end up being, you know, a DH. We'll see what happens there. But the bat, I don't know how you keep the bat in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. But if he's going to be a shortstop, I don't see how you don't keep him in the minor leagues. That's literally as simple as I can make it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple, too, because – yeah, cool. You're getting the 285, 290, 270, something like that batting average from him, but you're also getting 18 errors at shortstop over half a season. Like Fernando, I mean, I hate to throw Fernando Tatis Jr. out there, but I feel like it would kind of be like that. You'd be getting a really good bat, like not to that extent yet, but you would also be getting the needless errors that just don't need to happen. As you said, the double clutching. What if Trey Turner is running down the baseline and he double clutches? That Trey Turner's running that out every single time. Yeah. I mean, there's a plethora of guys not even close to as fast as Trey Turner that can probably run that out. I'd say Brian Reynolds could probably run that out if he actually put it on his horse. I mean,
yeah, it depends. His arm makes up for a lot of it. It really does. It's just it's something that will burn them at some point. It's just something to work on. It's a technique thing. Yeah. Maybe they can iron it out pretty quick, and then he's just this crazy shortstop that has range for days, you know?
Yeah, then you got Key Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz, range for days. That actually be – that range for Hayes, there we go. Sorry, anyways. I'm out here creating T-shirts for Pittsburgh Clothing Company already. But, so basically one, veteran pitching, two, backup catcher, three, right field, and then four, figuring out where O'Neill Cruz plays, pretty much. That's like what you would call like the perfect Pirates offseason in a way.
Well, as good as it's going to get this year anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're not going to see the Pirates go out there. As I always say on Twitter, guys, you're not going to see the Pirates sign Carlos Correa. There's no reason to do it. Stop putting it on Twitter. Anyways, before we get into our World Series predictions, I want to let you guys know that today's episode, of course, is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. They are wonderful for you, as well as covered in 100% chocolate. So it's like a perfect snack in two. They have 130 to 180 calories, 3 to 5 grams of net carbs, and 3 to 5 grams of sugar. They come in 9 unique flavors, from German chocolate, cherry barcia, to my favorite, cookies and cream. And you can get a mixed box, but in the Halloween spirit, they also sent me paranormal pumpkin, which is actually not that bad. I didn't think I'd like pumpkin and chocolate together, but I do. And you can order a mixed box where you get their 9 unique different flavors all together. So that's 18 Built Bars. And when you go to BuiltBar.com, which is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, tell them I sent you and use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off of your next order at BuiltBar.com. So we're at the tail end of today's Monday episode, Gary. I believe the World Series starts tomorrow. Does it start today? I don't remember.
I think it's tomorrow.
On Tuesday?
Yep.
Little house cleaning. So it should start in Houston, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So What is your official prediction for how this series is going to go and what we can expect from this series from both of these teams?
I think that it should probably go six, somewhere in that range. I'm going to go with Houston. I think they're the better team overall. You were talking about rooting interest earlier. For me, it's mostly about players I like. It's not really about the teams. It's hard for me to be from Pittsburgh and say that I like the Braves in any way, shape, or form. I mean, because sweet justice would be they get to game seven and Houston beats them on a BS sliding across the plate call that was clearly wrong. But
and then they don't have a winning season for another 20 years.
Yeah. But, I mean, I really, really do like and respect Freddie Freeman a lot.
Yes.
I think it's possibly his last year in Atlanta, so really wouldn't mind seeing him get it done. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Morton, of course. You know, I think it'd be nice for him to get one more here on a clean team. You know?
On a clean slate.
Not that I feel like he was cheating, but I wouldn't mind him just having a blemish-free World Series ring. You know, mm-hmm. So I guess my heart is saying Atlanta, but my head is saying Houston.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing with me rooting for Houston is Dusty Baker is actually like a pretty decent human being. Like, I think people know that he's a really good manager. He's no blemishes on his stuff either. I'm more rooting for Dusty Baker than I am for the Astros, if that makes sense. Like, I like Yordan Alvarez too. Yordan Alvarez is one of my favorite players in the league at the moment, just because the dude absolutely rakes. I don't know if you saw that foul ball he hit against the Red Sox in game six that literally hit off the top of the freaking roof. And I was like, that has to be the most impressive foul ball I have ever seen in my life. But I agree with you 100% as well. And being in Braves country too, I mean, I try my best not to say bad things about the Braves down here. And then people find out I'm a Pirates fan and they're like, oh, well, we don't blame you. And this is like older people. That's the part I think still gets me about 92 is I wasn't even alive, but I understand the significance of the fact that the Pirates did not have a winning season for 21 years after the fact. And people from Georgia will literally tell me he was out. We know he was out. We just took it and ran. It was like a highway robbery. And I mean, I don't want to get into a whole history lesson about why he was out and all that stuff. The call was 30 years ago now. Once we hit January, it's 30 years ago. It is what it is. I mean, but in terms of who I'm also rooting for on the Atlanta Braves, you got to root for these guys that moved over from these teams as well, like Eddie Rosario, Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler. They all moved to the Atlanta, like 3-4 months ago, and really helped this team get to where they are now, especially Jock Peterson, who's been coined Jocktober now. I haven't really ever liked him too much because of where he's played as a Chicago Cub and a Dodger. But I mean, as a player, he's just fun to watch. And I think it's also nice, like Atlanta's been in the mix lately, but they haven't been to the World Series since 1999. So I like seeing teams that haven't been there. They're always in the mix, but they haven't been there in a long time, because you can really sense that in Atlanta, this World Series means more than a Falcons Super Bowl would. It means more than an Atlanta Hawks NBA championship would. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. It might mean more than a UGA national championship would. I don't know about that last one, because for me, that's a whole different story.
Well, you're the expert down there, not me. So,
yeah, I mean, but like just how the consensus is when people, like last year in a COVID year, it was such a tough year for everybody. They blow a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers, and I have friends who are Braves fans that didn't talk to me for 3 days. Like they were like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it, because it's just such a prominent thing that happens down here. I mean, you had the 28-3, you had 3-1 last year. I mean, you had 3-1 in Atlanta. You had back when the Hawks in 2015 were the best team in Atlanta and got swept by LeBron James in 4 games. I mean, there's just been, I mean, even recently, a little more recently, UGA loses to Alabama in that crazy wacko way in the national championship game, follows it up the next year with losing the same way reversed. And it's like, how much more can happen to this fan base? So, I mean, if I had to make a prediction, I'm going to go with you still. I think the Astros are just the better team. I think it goes 6 or 7, like you said. But I like the Braves are not just going to fall over and lose in 4 or 5 games. And no, I don't think the Astros are either. I mean, that team just has too much heart. Like, that's where I'm at with it.
I will say I think that all pitchers are pretty tired right now. Yes. So I don't know that I would expect this to be a very well-pitched series.
No, I think there's going to be a lot of offense.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be about heart and guts right now just to muscle through, and the bats are going to carry the day. That's why it's really hard for me to go against Houston.
Yeah.
They have, I think, the best offense in the league, and I think they're just going to tee off on an awful lot of mm-hmm. people. Now, of course, I say that with Morton starting game one, and I hope that I'm wrong. But
yeah, I hope Morton throws 6 no-hit innings. That'd be great. And then it was funny, too, because I saw this funny tweet, as we'll end today's podcast, that somebody said if the Houston Astros win the World Series this year, they're going to run John Boy Media off the internet. I was like, yeah, probably. So we'll leave it there because we're going to see over the course of this week what happens with the World Series. I believe Game 7 might be on our Monday podcast next week, if I'm not mistaken, schedule-wise, if it starts Tuesday.
It would be scheduled for Wednesday the 3rd.
Okay, so it would be Game 2 that would be on Monday. Gotcha. Or no, November 1st is on Monday. I can't count today, Gary. It's okay. Awesome. But Gary, where can the fine people find all of your work and everything that you do for the Pittsburgh Pirates? Well, not for the Pittsburgh Pirates, about the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Everything I write is at InsideTheBucksBasement.com. And you can find my podcast, The Pirates Fan Forum. It's on YouTube, DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. You can find it anywhere you find good podcasts like this one.
Awesome. And you guys can also follow me on some of those same networks as well at Locked On Pirates, YouTube, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple Music, Google Play, all that good stuff. You can find this podcast anywhere. You can follow me on Twitter at MVP_Ethan or follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. We are remaining at 5 episodes a day, I believe, through the month of November. So we have a lot of podcasts and a lot of stuff coming your way over the next couple of weeks as the offseason will kick up, hopefully pretty soon. And the Pirates should be pretty busy. But Gary, thank you as always for joining us every Monday. And thank you, viewers, for listening every single Monday. And until tomorrow, I will see you on the flip side.
See you later.